used in this whole thing. Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, I just noticed something. I don't think I've ever noticed this before, but you know, it says death and life. And you know, when I did this one, I put life or death. But when Proverbs says it, it says death or life. It puts death first. And I think one of the reasons that that may be true is that our natural inclination is not to speak life, it's to speak death. And we kind of have that as a human frailty that we speak death. I'm going to read James chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. You got your notes there, and I encourage you to write notes and write the verses down and go home and study them. Be diligent of the things that you hear. Be a good steward of the message. I'm going to give you 4 points today. We're going to talk about amazing facts about the tongue. We're going to talk about the tongue today. And this is kind of tough. This is kind of tough. James 3:1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Now look at this verse 2. This is interesting. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Did you hear what that said? That if we do not stumble in our speech, that we are a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Now, I don't know about you, but I am disqualified because I stumble in my speech sometimes. Don't you? Does anybody else stumble in their speech? I think we all do. I think if we're honest, none of us are perfect. We've all stumbled in our speech, and probably Jesus is the only one who didn't stumble in speech. But this says that if we were able to do that, we could bridle the whole body. It could control everything about your body. And we're talking about amazing facts today about the tongue. So I want to give you 4 things today that we're going to talk about. And we're going to use adverbs to try to describe it. And we're going to look in James chapter 3. We're going to be looking in these verses because it unfolds several facts about our tongues, the words of our mouth, the words of our mouth. And I love the text that we've been using, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those that love it shall eat its fruit. You've been living by the words of your mouth for a long, long time. And most of it probably has not been good unless you've learned some things. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to talk about, that the tongue is disproportionately powerful. It's disproportionate. Now, I don't tell you how to spell that. Just do your best. Disproportionately powerful, the tongue is. And I want to read James 3, verses beginning with verse 3. We've already read 1 and 2. And remember verse 2, for we stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, it says, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot desires, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. So it does a comparison here that the tongue is a small thing, but it controls bigger things, just like the horse. I don't know how much experience that you've ever had with horses. I used to raise horses, and I would break them to ride, and I went horseback riding with Dr. Moody one time, and he says, I got this horse that you can ride, and he's green broke. Well, I didn't really know what that meant. Thank goodness I didn't have any problems with it, but he was green. He wasn't solid broke. He was green broke. Well, I bought a horse one time that was not green broke. It was not even broke to lead. It never had a bridle on it at all. And I bought this, and it was a stud horse. And it was about a 2-year-old stud horse. He weighed about 800-900 pounds. I weighed about 200 pounds at the time. And I took him home, got him out of the trailer, and I was going to lead him into the stall. I don't think he'd ever been in a stall before. And I was going to put him in the stall. I did not put him in the stall. He put me through the fence. I was pulling on that horse, and he started going backwards, just like that right there. And me and him both went through a barbed wire fence. And it was not fun. And I thought, what am I going to do? I have no control whatsoever over this horse. Somebody says, what you need is a snatch chain. What you do is through the bridle, you lace a chain through there, and you hook it on this side. So I did that, and we started again. And he started that again, and I yanked on that chain, and he stood at attention. I had his attention. He weighed 800 pounds at least, and I weighed 200. He is more powerful than I was. But a little old chain about that long, I got control of that horse. It says we put a bit in a horse's mouth, and we control his whole body. In fact, you can, with a horse, you can train a horse with a bit, and you can eventually get to where you don't even have to use that. You can use pressure on your knees to get a horse to go this way or that way. I mean, it's just amazing what you can do to train a horse. But he's still more powerful than you are, but yet you have conquered him with little bitty things like a bit or a small chain. And so the Bible says that our tongue is like a bit. It's compared to a horse and a bit. And we can control things in our lives if we will learn to control, guess what? Our tongues. Then it uses a ship. See, this is where that is disproportionately powerful. Something very small can have impact over something that is very big. And it used the ship. Here's this large ship. Anybody ever been on a cruise before? Well, you know how big those ships are. Those are huge ships. And they get out on the ocean, and sometimes there's rough weather. But it says that even in a fierce wind, that a small rudder controls the ship. And it compares that to the tongue. Something very small can have control over something that's very big. See, your life is very big. Your life is very significant. And yet, an unbridled tongue can destroy your life. It can destroy your family. It can destroy your marriage. It can destroy friendships. There's so many things that can be destroyed by something that is very small, by words that we speak. But right on the other hand, there's a positive spin to this. But if we will learn and allow the Lord to work in our lives and do a work on our tongues and our hearts, guess what? That influence can be very positive. It can be very, very positive. And then the next thing that it used was a spark in a forest. A small spark. You know, there's been people who just flipped a cigarette butt out the window, and it caught forest on fire, and hundreds of thousands of acres have burned. And it started with a spark. It takes a spark to get a fire going. And so it's comparing something that is very small that has great impact on something that's very large. See, there is a lesson for us to learn in this, not that we just a negative lesson, but it can also be a positive lesson. Now, the second thing that we need to realize about the tongue is that the tongue is inherently evil. The tongue is inherently evil. In other words, let's say it this way. Our natural inclination is to use our tongue in evil ways. We use it for gossip, for slander, for backbiting. We even many times put ourselves down, especially because words that have been spoken to us or things that have happened in our lives. And I've heard people say, you know, I'll never amount to anything. I can't do anything right. Their tongue is setting their heart up for failure. And I believe that God has good things for you. See, I think God loves you. I believe God loves you. I don't believe God makes failures. I don't believe God kills, steals, and destroys. He says, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. But our natural inclination is to use our tongue for destruction. And what we want to learn to do in this series that we're talking about is turn that around and let our tongue be blessing and not cursing. Where that we can have impact not only on our personal lives, but also on the lives of people that we come in contact with. And we're going to see some verses that in just a few minutes that kind of shows the contrast of this. Okay. James 1, 6. It says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. See, isn't it amazing that the first point was that the tongue is contrastedly powerful, a very small thing that can just utter destruction, utter chaos that can be created by the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Or let's say it the way it says it, death and life. Because we normally start from the context of death because the tongue is inherently evil. And the reason that it's inherently evil, God didn't create it evil. He didn't create the tongue to be an evil force. He created it to be life-giving. See, but we sinned and fell away from God, and we've been consumed by sin. See, a lot of people don't realize the devastation of the fall of man, what it did to the heart of man. Jeremiah says that the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Now, we believe that that's changed when we get born again. The heart's changed. But listen, we still have a lot of negativity. We still have a lot of death and poison on the inside of our minds and our souls because of the experiences of life. And if we're not careful, well, we don't have to be careful. We speak more death than we speak life because it is inherently evil. Evil is the default setting for the tongue. We're not naturally positive. We're not naturally life-giving. We're naturally destructive-oriented. The third thing that I want to say to you today, that the tongue is humanly untamable. Verse 8 says, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. That's natural. That's natural. Sometimes I think we ought to carry a recorder around with us for a day and record every word that we speak. And at the end of the day, go back and listen to that recording and just see how much life we speak and how much death we speak. See, if you're not conscious of the words of your mouth, your inclination will be more death than life. You'll say things to your kids that are death-oriented and not life-oriented. You should never say to your child, you know, you're so dumb. You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. I mean, words are powerful. Little words are so powerful. And once those words are out there, you can apologize. You can repent. But those words are out there. You can't take them back. They do their damage. They do their damage. But you know, you can turn that thing around. I heard the story of a man that his mom came to visit him. And they had just had a baby. He said, I got up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom and I heard my mom in the baby's room. And I just kind of tiptoed up to hear what was going on, because she was speaking. And she was speaking over that baby, newborn baby. And she was saying, "You're such a blessing. God's got a plan for your life. You are capable of doing great things." And she was just going on and on and on. And then, you know, he said, I just realized that my mom had said those same things to me when I was a child. And this guy was a very famous, very successful athlete. And I think he served in Congress. But he was very successful in his life. And he says, you know, I go back and I think that those are the very same things that my mom said to me when I was a child. See, some of you have heard the words, "You were just an accident. You weren't planned." Some of you have even heard, "I hate you." What does that do to our hearts? What do those small words do to our hearts? They set on fire the course of nature. And they bend a child in the direction of destruction. And see, that has gone on in very many people's lives. Sometimes out of frustration, we'll say things to our kids. I didn't say this first service. I'm talking to somebody. We'll say things to our kids that are not life-giving. You have to correct your kids. You have to get on to your kids. You have to tell them what they do when they do something wrong, that they did wrong. But there's a way to do it without killing them. Amen? We got to be life-giving. And this is what this is talking about, that the tongue is inherently evil and that it is humanly untamable. We've tamed animals. There's so many things that we have mastered, but the tongue is not one of them. James 3:7. "For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's unruly, evil, full of deadly poison." The words of death are full of deadly poison. And guess what? We have all spoke those words. Anytime you speak evil of someone, you're speaking poison. See, that's why gossip is so bad. That's why slander is so bad. Backbiting, undercutting, sedition. That's why that's so bad. Because it releases poison in the hearer's mind. And he has to process that in his own heart. Okay. Number four, this is the last point. The tongue is contrastedly productive. Let me read James 3:9. "With it, we bless our God and Father." Let me tell you something. That's why your tongue was created, was to bless God. You know what happens And I hope you noticed this, that when one of the great things about corporate worship is when we come together as the body of Christ, is, you know, we were singing that song, that new song. Didn't you love that new song, Beautiful? How that someday that the bride of Christ is going to come in, going to hear the wedding bells, and we're going to come in. And I just kind of got a picture. Here we are from all different church backgrounds. You know, we got, you know, Methodists and Baptists and Church of Christ and Catholics and Pentecostals and people from all over the earth with all kinds of traditions and cultures and different things. But you know what? When we come into that marriage supper of the Lamb, we come in as the body of Christ, it's going to be a glorious gathering. And we're going to be using our tongues to bless God. You know, when we come together on Sundays, it can be so powerful that when we lift our voices together, we're blessing God. You know why that's so powerful? Because the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. See, here's the truth. When we praise God, when we lift our voices in corporate worship, we're releasing life. And God comes in and inhabits the praises of His people. Jesus is in our atmosphere. And listen, when Jesus is here, anything can happen. When Jesus is here, anything can happen. And there's such an expectation. It says, with it we bless our God and our Father. And then the contrast side of it says, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Can you see why that's so destructive? Here we're trying to bless God, and here we're trying to curse men whom God made. Something not right about that. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Your tongue was created to be life-giving. But let's listen, we've used it more the other way. We need something to happen in our mouths. We need something to happen in our hearts that changes us, that transforms us. And we're going to start talking about that next week, how that we can learn to yield. See, because we can't do it by ourselves. The Bible says that no man can tame the tongue. No man can do that. We're going to have to yield it to the Holy Spirit. We need to learn how to yield it to the Holy Spirit so that He can help us with that. He work with us so that we can bring the tongue under the control of the bit. Now, as we get ready to close this today, I want to read what I've already read you. James 3, 1 through 12. This is from the Message. And I want you to listen to this. Because it says it just a little bit different, and it kind of brings it into light. Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to a stricter standard. And none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech is perfectly true, you'd find a perfect person in perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of strongest winds. That skilled captain is the Holy Spirit. A word out of the mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By your speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, and send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues we bless God our Father. With the same tongues we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessing out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? See, God wants us to be a pure spring. God wants a people that what comes out of their heart and out of their mouth to be a refreshing and a blessing and life-giving to the people who need to hear it. But see, when the church is full of the death that the tongue can bring, it's very hard. Our influence has waned because that we don't control our tongues. We don't even control our tongues with each other many times. How can we speak life when we're speaking death? How can pure water come out of a polluted spring? It can't. We need a work of God in our hearts. Let's pray. As we pray, our worship team is coming and we're going to worship, and then Joe's going to close the service. Father, thank you today. Thank you that we can see the power of the tongue. And Lord, we know that we haven't always chosen to use our tongue in a right way. That we have fallen so easily into the trap of gossip and negativity and slander and hurt and poison. We've hurt people close to us. We've damaged people's reputations because of offense or other reasons. Lord, we want to be different. We want to see you do a work in our hearts and our lives as the people of God. Lord, we want our tongues under the control of the Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us. Thank you for loving us like we are, but loving us too much to leave us like we are today. Lord, we just open our hearts to you. Minister to us today, I pray, in Christ's name. Can we stand together?